Now let's open our Bibles to the book of Isaiah again, chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. I'm reading two verses, verses 6 and 7. I have before me this morning my favorite subject. Without reservation, totally, completely, this is my favorite subject. I'm never more comfortable in the pulpit preaching than when I'm preaching on the person and work of Jesus Christ, my Lord. That's my favorite subject. And yet, the most difficult subject. No one knows the difficulty of the task of preaching about the mysteries of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not as simple as some indicate. How complex and mysterious is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. How complex, how mysterious. Paul said to Timothy, great, without controversy, without contradiction, great is the mystery of godliness. He calls it a mystery in so many places in the Word, the mystery of the relationship between Christ and His church, the mystery of the resurrection, the mystery of the incarnation. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. He was seen of the angels. He was preached to the Gentiles. He was believed on in the world. He was received up into glory. That's a mystery. And it's not understood by reasoning or by research. It's only understood to the degree that we have a God-given revelation. That's so. Now let's read Isaiah 9:6. Unto us a child is born. He called him over in Isaiah 53 a tender plant and a root out of dry ground. A child is born. Just like all children are born. Mother waited 9 months, had certain contractions and pains. The father anxiously stood by. The midwife aided, and a child was born. That's what that says. This. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Now the mystery deepens. Now the mystery deepens. Doesn't say a son is born. Said he's given. He's given. Now read on. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. The government. And his name. It doesn't say he shall be these things. It says he is these things, and this is what he's called. This is what he's called. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. In the same breath, the prophet calls him a child. Bobby calls him a counselor. In the same breath, he calls him, unto us a child is born. And this child shall be called the Counselor. With whom took he counsel? This one right here. In the same breath that he calls him the Son, unto us a son is given, he calls him the Father. In the same breath he calls him the Son, he calls him the Everlasting Father. You figured that one out? Preach, you don't preach doctrine to us, just preach Jesus when you... Don't go into any depth of the Word. I mean, we don't need to study. Don't go into this complex theology. Just preach Jesus.
Poor fool.
Poor fool. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? In the same breath that the prophet calls him the Son, he calls him the Father. He that has seen me has seen the Father. And that to you is simple. And back there in verse 5, look at verse 5, Isaiah 9, says, for every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood. Garments rolled in blood. And in the same breath, he talks about his garments rolled in blood. And you remember, who is this that comes, Cecil, from Eden, his garments dipped in blood? In the same breath, he talks about his garments rolled in blood. Johnny calls him the Prince of Peace. Peace. He comes with his garments rolled in blood, bringing peace. Warrior. In the same breath, he calls him a man of sorrows. I read that to you a while ago. Despised. No form, no comeliness. Despised. Rejected. In the same breath, it says he's the mighty God. In the same breath, he talks about him being rejected of men. He talks about him being wonderful and the government being on his shoulders. There's no contradiction here. The only contradiction here is for the natural man who calls this foolishness. The only contradiction here is for the natural man, even religionist, who calls this a stumbling block. There is a great mystery here that's discerned and taught by Revelation. I want to read you two passages. If you'll keep our text and turn to the book of Job. The book of Job. Now, if you'll always bear in mind, turn to Job 11. If you'll always bear in mind that this great mystery of the person and work of Christ, if you'll always bear in mind that it is not taught by research, it's not learned in the seminary. We want our preachers to go to the seminary. We want our preachers to go to this place of learning. That's not where it's learned. This comes by revelation. One time our Lord asked the disciples, whom do these men say that I am? And to whom did the Lord refer? Well, the Pharisees, the theologians, the scribes, the Sanhedrin, the Sadducees, that's the people to whom he was referring. He said, what are they saying about me? And the disciples said, well, they say you're some great prophet, or some, maybe John the Baptist come back from the dead, or that Elijah. The Jews thought Elijah would come back to earth before the Messiah, or before the millennium. And you're that Elijah. And these are all wrong. These are the deductions of human reason and human wisdom. He said, but whom do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ. Thou art the Son of the living God. And he said, Peter, blessed are you. Flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but my Father which is in heaven. It comes by revelation. You see, Job 11, listen. Verse 7. Can you, by searching, find out God? Can you find out the Almighty unto perfection, wisdom, understanding? Can you? Why, it's high as the heaven. What can you do? It's deeper than hell. What on earth do you think that you can know about this mystery? All right, let me show you another one in Romans 11. Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Listen to this. Verse 33, Romans 11, 33. Oh, great is the mystery of godliness. My sincere prayer is, oh, Lord, be our teacher. Lead me not to my natural wisdom, to what I think, what I believe. The wisdom of men is foolishness with God. Romans 11, 33, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Who hath known the mind of the Lord, who hath been his counselor. There's no seeing Christ. Now listen to me. Please listen. There's no seeing Christ in his person, in his work, in his revelation, in his redemption. There's no seeing Christ except by seeing Christ in his own light. In other words, he is the one to whom we look, but he is the light by which we see him. Does that make sense what I'm saying? He is the object of faith, the object of the sight of faith. He's the one to whom we look, but he himself is the light by which we look. In other words, he's the lesson we learn, but he's the teacher. Does that make sense? He's the teacher. He's the lesson, and he's the teacher. He's not only the sacrifice, he's the priest who offers it. He's the altar on which it's offered. And he is the offended God to whom it is offered. That's a mystery. He is not only the door, but he's the one who opens and no man shuts. He is the destination to be like Christ. But he's the way to the destination. O Lord, be our lesson and be our teacher. Sanctify our thoughts and illuminate our understanding and reveal thy glory to our hearts and let us see Christ. Like the Greeks who came to the disciples with this marvelous request, they said, "Sirs, we would see Jesus." This one. Let's look at this one. All right. Verse 6 of chapter 9. May God the Holy Ghost teach us. May he give us an appetite for the bread of life, a thirst for the water of life. May he give us a heart that yearns to know him, a heart that would be dissatisfied with anything less than coming to Christ. Anything less. I don't want to be a child of the lesser God. I want to be a child of the King. I don't want to see this world's Jesus. I want to see the mysterious, complex Christ who has to be revealed by the very power of God himself. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. There's no repetition here. There's no repetition here. The careful student will discover that the Holy Ghost never wastes words. A child is born, a child who's never lived on this earth, a child of a woman, actually the seed of woman. He's born of woman, bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh, blood, pores, fingernails, skin, hair, blood, feelings, thirst, weariness, hunger, pain, sleep, awake, man, numbered with the transgressors, son of man. That's right, son of man. A child is born. That's right. But, watch this, unto us a son is given. As a son, he's not born. He's given. As a son, he pre-existed. Not only pre-existed, but he is existence. He is life. He is the only begotten, well-beloved Son of God. He is the same substance and nature as the Father. He was with God in the beginning and was God, and all things were made by him. He's given. He inhabited the body of this man-child. The Word, God, was actually made flesh and dwelt among us. And we actually beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, the exact image of God, the express image of his person, and the brightness of his glory was robed in human flesh, believe it or not. Is it true? Is it true? Yes, it's true. The angel stood that night on the Judean hillside and said to the shepherds, "We bring you good tidings of great joy. Unto you is born a Savior, Christ the Lord. And if you look, God will give you a sign. A star is in heaven over his birthplace.
Heaven at this moment is standing still over that little place in Bethlehem where God is inhabiting human flesh. Is it true? One day he came down beside the River Jordan and told John the Baptist to baptize him to fulfill all righteousness. And John said, I have need to be baptized of thee. He said, suffer it to be so, to fulfill all righteousness. And so John took him, and they went both of them into the water. And John baptized him and brought him up. And when he brought him up, the heavens opened. And the Spirit of God descended in the form of a dove and dwelt upon him. And the voice from heaven said, this is my Son. Yes, truth. It's true. And one day a man inhabited with demons met him, and the demons cried out at the presence of Jesus of Nazareth, and they said, we know who you are. Didn't they say that? We know who you are. These Pharisees don't know who you are, but we do. We've dealt with you before. We know who you are. These Sadducees don't know, but we know who you are. These poor unbelieving disciples, they've got to learn the hard way, but we know who you are. Have you come to torment us before our time? We know who you are. Is it true? Yes, it's true. Well, if it's true, what then? Well, if it's true, I have a representative. If it's true, I have a mediator. If it's true, the eternal, almighty, holy God has been pleased to send someone to represent us who are the fallen sons of Adam. If it's true that God became a man, if it's true a child is born and a son is given, if that's true, and it is true, then sinners have a mediator. They have a representative. If it's true, they have a ransom. That price he paid is all that needs to be paid. If it's true. If it's true, I have a righteousness. That life he lived is accepted by the Father, and I in him. If it's true. If it's true, I also have a resurrection hope, because he died like I shall die, and he was buried as I shall be buried, but the grave couldn't hold him. He came out, then I shall come out, because he said, because I live, you live. If it's true. And it is true. Well, if it's not true, if it's not true, without Christ, incarnation, representation, crucifixion, soul offering, resurrection, ascension, intercession, without that, religion is a joke. It's a joke. People carrying Bibles around and meeting in buildings and temples and cathedrals and holy places is a joke. It's a total, complete waste of time without that substitute, without that representative, without that ransom, without that righteousness, without that resurrection hope. It's a joke. Because if this is not true, unto us a child is born and a son is given. If this is not true, that the Son is the Father and the child is the Counselor, and the despised one and representative is, in fact, actually the mighty God, the everlasting Father. If this is not true, then I have no representative. I stand alone. If a man sin against God, who will stand for him? Nobody. You'll stand there. If this is not true, Jim, get ready. Get ready. We stand alone before the awesome God you talked about in your prayer. If this is not true, this little verse right there is not true. You got no representative. That funny looking fella walking around in those religious garments, he ain't no representative. He can't help you. He can't help himself. Your blessed mama who loves you dearly, who'd give her life for you, she can't stand for you. Your precious daddy who loves you and adores you, he can't stand for you. Forget it. Your dearest friend. You don't have a chance of a snowball in hell. That's the way it is, isn't it? That's plain language. Standing before a holy God. That's just where it is. You don't have a representative. I'll tell you something else. You don't have a ransom, and the debt's too great to pay. and you don't have a righteousness, you're the fellow that he said, how come you're in here without a wedding garment? Cast him out. Huh? And there's no resurrection. Oh, my friends, I thank God this is true. A child is given. A child is born. A son is given. Thank God. God came to earth in Jesus Christ, in the complex, mysterious person of Jesus Christ. All right, what's this next line? And the government shall be on his shoulders. What are you talking about, preacher? I'll tell you what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the government of the Messianic kingdom given him. You read about that in 1 Corinthians 15, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to the Father. All things are put under his feet, yet we don't see yet all things put under his feet, but they're there. He has the government of the Messianic kingdom on his shoulders. He has taken it. It's been laid on him. All things have been committed to the Son. Not only the Messianic kingdom, he has the government of this world on his shoulders. The universe. By him all things were created, for him all things were created, and by him all things are held together. This child, this son, this God-man, this man-child who is God in human flesh has the government on his shoulders of the Messianic kingdom, of the world, whoa, I'm not through, and of all flesh. All flesh. Thou hast given him power over what? All flesh. And the church. He is the head of the church. And God hath given him the glory in eternity. He must reign till he puts all his enemies under his footstool. Jesus Christ is not the pitiful, pathetic, frustrated, defeated reformer that he is pictured to be. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He has that on his vesture. That's right. I'm telling you the truth. The government. Unto us a child is born, a tender plant, a root out of a dry ground, despised of men. But the Son is given. And the government. The government. The rule, the reign of the universe, of the world, of all flesh, of the church, and of the Messianic kingdom, and of the glory of God is put on his shoulders. Like the queen of old who knighted the warrior, and he arose Sir So-and-so on his shoulders. And God the Father put it all on him. And anything you have to do with God will be through him. God's taken the whole barnet, you say, ball of wax and given it to Christ. Vested it in Christ. Put all his glorious golden eggs in one basket, and that's Christ. That's right. All right, watch it now. His name shall be called Wonderful. Wonderful. You know, we call a lot of things wonderful. They're not wonderful. Things on this earth. But I tell you, he's wonderful. He's wonderful in his eternality. He said, before Abraham was, I am. He's wonderful in his person. He's the God-man. None like him before or after. He's wonderful in his love, oh, love of God, the everlasting, infinite, unchanging love of our Lord. How rich, how pure, how measureless, how strong. It shall forevermore endure. Our love doesn't endure the faintest wind, but his endures even the death of the cross. Wonderful in his life, no sin, no sin. None could charge him with sin. None could find fault with him. Even heaven says, I'm pleased with it. Wonderful in his death. That he should die at all is wonderful. But for sinners, that's wonderful. Wonderful in his resurrection. By his own power, he came forth. My Lord didn't lie in that grave waiting for somebody to let him out. By his own power, he came out. That's right. Now, you can have, you're welcome to it. I've got no argument with you. I've got no time for you. You can have a Jesus who wants to and can. You can have a Savior who wants in and folks won't let him. You can have a Jesus that sits around and waits for the will of the creature or the will of the flesh or the will of man or the approval of man or the affirmation of man or so and so. You can welcome to him. My Lord has no chains on him. He has no limitations on him. He'll do what he will, when he will, with whom he will. He'll quicken whom he will. And when he went to the great cross, he went there on purpose. When he died on purpose. When he lay in the tomb, he lay there at the prescribed time he said he would. And when that morning awakened, he did too. And by his own power, he came out. He's wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful. In his ascension, he's raised to the right hand of the majesty on high. And wonderful in his return, for his return shall signal. When I was in the Navy, I was a signalman. We had certain signals that on a certain signal, every ship would do certain things. And we had a flag hoist we'd put up and meant a certain thing, and all the ships would raise it. Ours was the command ship. And I'd stand there with my hand on the halyard on the line and my commanding officer up there. And he'd have his hand up. When he dropped his hand, I'd jerk that flag down, and every ship in that convoy turned on a signal from that one man. And I'll tell you, when my Lord comes, that's the signal when there'll be a new heaven and a new earth, and every grave will open, and there'll come forth to life and come forth to death, and the angels will sing, and all things shall be made new. Isn't he wonderful? I used to think that old bearded four-striper was wonderful. Man, he could just drop his hand, everything would move. But I tell you, when he raises his hand, everything's going to move. He's wonderful. Oh, he's wonderful. He shall be called Wonderful. And what's this? He shall be called Counselor. Counselor. Would you know God? I tell you, a lot of these preachers are wasting their time with counsel. Everybody got a self-associate, some counsel. Turn to Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40. You need one counselor. He's the wisdom of God. Would you look into God's wisdom? Look at Christ. Would you look into God's power? Look at Christ. Would you know God's covenant and mercy? Look at Christ. Would you know God's purpose? Look at Christ. Study Christ. Learn of me, he said. Learn of me. Learn of me. Would you know God? Isaiah 40, verse 13. Listen. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord? Or being his counselor hath taught him? With whom took he counsel? Who instructed him? Taught him the path of judgment? Taught him knowledge? Showed to him the way of understanding? Oh, I tell you this. Who is this? He's the counselor. He's the counselor. Turn to the book of Zechariah. Won't you look at this scripture? Zechariah, if you can't find it in a hurry, just listen. I'll read it. Zechariah chapter 6. Listen to verse 12 and 13. And speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, behold, the man whose name is the branch. See the capital letters, capital B, capital R, capital A, the branch. He shall grow up out of his place. He shall build the temple of the Lord. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord. And he shall bear the glory and shall sit and rule upon his throne. And he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both, Father and the Son. He's the counselor. You want to know God? Come to Christ. He's the counselor. He's the wisdom. This is what I want people to do. I want to preach, and I don't want them following a man. I want them to know Christ. I want them to seek Christ and find him in the Word and follow him. Like John the Baptist was standing there with those disciples, and he had trained them and taught them and in the things of God. And one day Christ came by, and John said, behold, the Lamb of God. And those disciples left John and went right to Christ. left old John standing there by himself. That's the greatest thing in the world. That's the end of all preaching. It's not to make a man his own pastor. I don't mean that at all. But it's to bring a man to look to Christ, the counselor, and find in him the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God. Something wrong when we always have to run to a human being, isn't it? Something, you know, always have to run to a human being. We get down in the dumps and we've got to run over and get somebody to lift us. We get this, that, and got to get somebody to lift us. Christ is our comfort, our strength, our confidence, our hope. All right, read on. His name is the Mighty God. The Mighty God. Do you know that His attributes are the attributes of God only, Jesus Christ? Only God is good. Only God can give life. He stood outside the grave of Lazarus and said, come forth. Only God can forgive sins. He said, thy sins be forgiven thee. Only God can create. Says all things were made by Him. Only God knows men's thoughts, and Christ knowing their thoughts. Only God knows men's hearts. He saw Nathanael coming. He said, there's an Israelite in whom there's no guile. I know his heart. Only God can still the storm. He stood out one day and the rain stopped. That's God. He's the mighty God. Only God knows the future. He told his disciples, said, you go down there and there'll be a donkey tied to a tree. That's God. He's the mighty God. All right, I hurry. Watch this. He's the everlasting Father. The everlasting, everlasting Father. What was the answer to Moses' question? Moses says, what is your name? He said, I am that I am. I am that I am. Learn this. I am. This is the holy ground. A man wrote me an interesting letter yesterday from over in Kansas. He heard a tape I preached here when I mentioned that this certain preacher was over in the tomb. He said it was the tomb of Christ, and he said this is the holiest place on earth. You remember that? I told you about that television preacher. I never thought of this at the time. But he said this is the holiest place on earth. And this man in Kansas wrote back and said, did he have his shoes off? He didn't. He didn't have his shoes off. God said, Moses, take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. Holy ground. And then Moses said, well, what's your name? He said, I am. I want you sometime to go through the New Testament. Now, you know that when a word is italicized, in a different print, that it's supplied by the translators. But you sometime go through the New Testament, see how many times the Lord Jesus Christ refers to himself as what? I am. I am. Now, you just check. He said, before Abraham was, I am. They came to arrest him. They said, we seek Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I am. And they fell backward. You remember? I am. You check. It's so many times. He said, if you believe not that I am, you'll die in your sin. I am. Spurgeon said one time, I see an old man sitting under an oak tree. And I'm intrigued by his tales of the ancient times, the years gone by. Old white-haired man sitting under an old oak tree. But what is the age of that old man compared to that tree under which he sits? That tree has been there twice as long as that old man lived. But what's the age of that tree compared to the rocks? Around that tree have seen a lot of trees come and go. Those rocks were laid there by God when he laid the foundations of the earth. But what are the ages of those rocks compared with the angels who watched him lay them there? That's going back, isn't it, Charlie? But what are the ages of those angels who owe their existence to him who spake them out of nothing? That's Jesus Christ.
He's the everlasting Father. And he's the Prince of Peace. And I close. Peace. What kind of peace? Peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Peace of heart. My peace I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Peace that passeth understanding. The Prince of Peace. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not want for rest because he makes me to lie down in green pastures. I shall not want for peace because he leads me beside the still waters. I shall not want for forgiveness because he's restored my soul. I shall not want for holiness because he leads me in paths of righteousness, his righteousness. I shall not want for fellowship because thou art with me. I shall not want for comfort because his rod and staff comfort me. I shall not want for any provision. He hath prepared a table before me. I shall not want for joy. My cup runneth over. I shall not want for anything in this life, nor in the life to come, because surely goodness and mercy shall follow me, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I tell you, John, come sing that song for us. His name is wonderful, isn't it, huh? His name. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And his name, the government shall be on his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace.